Man, those were good songs, man. Man, if that doesn't move your heart, we need to get your heart right, amen? Because that was good worship. Really good. Thank you, Danny Ray, and congratulations. Would you like me to hire somebody to come help you? We're going to be busy. Judy's like, yes, 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 yes. Please send help. you're gonna need a helpline. 911 won't answer the call, but we can have 912 and call for help. Well, I'm so thankful that you guys are here today. Corey is in San Angelo today preaching at the Roping Fiesta. He goes there every year to minister there, and he'll be traveling a little bit, you know, here in the future, so y'all be praying for him. And he's also doing the church service at the National Finals, which is in Texas, by the way. Yes, where they're playing the World Series right now, in that stadium. So, good things ahead for our church, for our pastor. He's always had the heart of evangelism to go see people saved out in the country. He loves to travel, loves to do those things, so y'all be praying for him. And also our president in the near future. We're praying for him during the election, and that the whole election process goes smooth, and that our country stays on the right godly path. Amen? Stays on the right path. Hallelujah. So if you're new here, we'd like to say thank you for coming. We know you could have gone anywhere today. You might be here with family, or maybe you're looking for a new church. But if you are new here, you probably got a little packet in the foyer. If you didn't, we'll get you one. But inside that packet, there's a little card. If you could pull it out and fill it out, we would appreciate it. Put it in these offering buckets before the day is over. We would greatly appreciate it. So if that is you, would you please allow our church to honor you as you raise your hand? We'll clap for you. Just raise your hand right quick. Is there anybody? Just a few. Okay. Anybody else? Got one. Okay. One, maybe two. Got one that's sleeping. Is it too loud? You might need to put some earmuffs on him. It might get a little loud for him. I want to wake him up, that little guy. Hey, you know what? Can he come up here and do this and let me do that? He just rock me to sleep. I won't snore, I promise. I promise. Psalm chapter 44. Psalm chapter 44. As we get ready to do tithes and offerings. And by the way, does this belong to anybody? Is this yours, McCloskey? Any of this looks, it says Color Guard and Heritage Girl. Oh, is that yours, Heidi? Okay, it's fine. Leave it up here. I just make sure we didn't lose it. Psalm 144. I'm sorry. Psalm 44. I told you right the first time, told you wrong the second time. Psalm 44, verse 1. He said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us." Thank God our mommies and daddies told us about Jesus. Amen. "The work you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the pagan nations with your own hand. Then you planted and established them, Israel. It was by your power that you uprooted the pagan peoples, and you spread them abroad. For our fathers did not possess the land of Canaan by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence. Because you have favored and delighted in them." And then he says, "You are my king, O God. Command victories and deliverance for Jacob, Israel. Through you, we will gore our enemies like a bull. Through your name, we will trample down those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and you have put them to shame and humiliated those who hate us. In God, we have boasted all the day long, and we will praise and give thanks to your name forever." Selah. (Clears throat) If you've been going to church here for, you know, maybe a few weeks, or, you know, maybe you haven't been going here for very long, I don't know. I hear a roaring noise. I don't know if it's his monitor or what, but it's a little, it's, now it's gone. There we go. I think we got rid of it. If you've been going here for just a short while, you know that here at this church, we do spend time on talking about finances. It's one of the most important things in your life, right? You've got no money, you cannot pay for nothing, right? So money is a very important thing to God, and it's important that you understand God's ways of doing things. When he's talking about in Psalm 44 is that everything that we have, everything that we are, we owe it all to God. There ain't nothing that you have that God didn't give you. Amen? There is nothing you have, the talents that you have, the gifts that you have, there ain't nothing that you have that God did not give you. Everything you have, you got because of the abilities and the talents that you possess that God gave you because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have what you have because of God. And he says, I give credit to you, O God. He said, you are my king, O God. And in verse 8 he says, in God we have boasted all the day long, and we will praise and give thanks to your name forever. Yes, you will give thanks to his name forever. It's not just here on earth you're giving thanks. I mean, there is going to be praise and worship in heaven like you ain't never seen. There are colors there that you have never seen. There are things there that you have never seen. I think one of my kids asked me the other day, I couldn't remember which one it was. They said, are we going to have to eat? I mean, because let me tell you something. If there's one thing that I really enjoy on this earth, it's good food. Good food. And they said, are we going to eat this kind of stuff in heaven? I'm like, I don't know. But if there's something better in heaven, I can't wait to taste it. Because it talks about the tree of life, and you know, in the book of Revelation, I believe, it talks about us eating from the tree of life and how it replenishes us and it nourishes us and it rebuilds our strength and keeps us going. We will be able to eat from the tree of life. The things that are there are nothing compared to what they are here. But while you are here, enjoy it. Amen? The prosperity is available. It is available to you. Tithes and offerings do nothing but show that you're trusting God with everything that you have, including money. And money is the hardest thing for people to trust God with. It is the hardest. Anybody can say, you know, I received Jesus. It's easier to do that than it is to say, but I trust you also with my money. Money is the toughest thing for people to give up and to trust God with. Because you don't see God, but you see the results of God. It's like the wind when the trees move. You don't see the wind, you just see the results of wind. You see what happens when wind blows. But if you can trust God financially with your finances, if you can trust Him, you will see the results of what God can do for you. And He'll tell you. And He'll be like, He'll tell you, He'll talk to you through the Holy Ghost and say, this is because of what you did. This is because of what you sowed. This is because of your trusting me financially through the tithes and offering. God will bless you if you'll trust Him. It's one of the most important things that you're going to need to learn as a Christian is how to trust God with your money. I'm telling you, especially, you know, these there's no telling what's coming ahead of us. We don't know. We don't know how long COVID's going to be here, and nor do we care. I don't care. Amen? Who cares? We're not going to trust in a man or our government to save us. We're going to trust that God is going to protect us. He's going to save us. He's going to protect our finances. He's going to protect our investments. He's going to protect our temples, which is our body. He's going to protect us because we are supernaturally protected. And if you will believe it, it'll work for you. Trust God with your money. I can promise you He will bless you. I've been standing up here talking about this, and I've listened to Corey talk about it, and I've watched it on television for years. This church talk about finances, and I have watched it change people's lives. It's changed mine. It'll work for you if you work it. The only things in the Bible that work for you are the parts that you believe. Right? I mean, you don't get to heaven unless you believe Jesus, right? Died for you on the cross, raised again on the third day, walked out of the tomb, overcame death. Walked out of the tomb and overcame death and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Everything you believe is what's working for you. The parts you don't believe are the parts that ain't working for you. But if you can trust God with your money, I promise you, He'll bless you. Amen? Y'all come give a big round of applause today. Come on up with a big round of applause. Here come the little dumplings. Watching guard over the box. Hey, we're overloaded over here. We're a little bit, in basketball, this is what we call overload. Got too many to this one side. She got on some fancy purple boots. Are those pink or purple? What color are those? Are they purple? She's not listening to me. They sure are bright. She's focused, Focused, honed in. That's where you're supposed to be, honed in. Focus, focus. Focus, focus. How you doing, Sims? You doing good? It's one of our athletes over there, plays football and football team for us. Hi, Sims. Good to see you. Oh, are y'all ready? Yes. All you kids, is the youth going? Yes, youth and kids, you are dismissed. Big round of applause. Y'all clap for the kids. The bull riding bell has exited the building. He's going to at least try. He's like, maybe if I sneak in, they won't notice I'm here. Good times, good times. Title of this message today is Get to Know Yourself. And I have to give credit to my classes last week, because we did speeches in my classes, and they had to get up and give speeches, you know, and all that stuff. And the title of the speech was A Relationship That's Important to You and Why. And they were supposed to stand up, you know, for 1 minute. How many of you know a minute's really long when you're in eighth grade? Really, really long. And some of them couldn't make it. Some of them couldn't go a whole minute. It was like 30 seconds. Had one go 20 seconds. And I'm like, you couldn't think of anything else to say about your parents? How long have you been on this planet, you know? And then they're like, I'm 14. 14 years? And you couldn't think of anything longer than 20 seconds, you know? So I gave them a hard time. But I have to give credit on some of these, and I'll tell you as I go through the message. There were three or four kids that gave their speech, and they said something that just really caught my attention. And they were like good one-liners, man. I'm like, man, that's really good stuff right there. You know, I didn't have time to talk about it in the class, but I was like, I could preach on that for hours. And so when I wrote the, you know, sat down to study for this message, and I thought, you know what, we got to get to know ourselves personally. And number one, if you're taking notes, number one is a relationship with myself. You have got to have a relationship with yourself. And that was the title of one of these kids' messages. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. A relationship with yourself, that's breaking the rules. That was not what I told you to do. So, you know, so I had to stop and tell him, you know, I told you I wanted somebody, not yourself, to do a speech on. But what he said and everything that he was talking about, like, stuck with me. You have got to have a relationship with yourself. Remember the scripture says, love God, you know, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because there's a lot of us don't love ourselves. There's a lot of us that have been told their whole life that, you know, don't be conceited, don't be self-centered, don't be narcissistic, which means you're in love with yourself. And every conversation you have, it's always about you. It's always about me, me, me. You know, the song that, you know, what's that? It's all about you, all about me. I forgot. Toby Keith. I was trying to say Joe Diffie, but no, it's not Joe. It's Toby Keith, you know. All about me. I'm tired of talking about you. It's all about, you know, I want to talk about myself. Yes, there is a prideful part. You know, if you were to take this to the extreme, yes, there would be a part where you were turning into a narcissist, and that's not what I'm talking about here. I am going to teach you how today to love yourself, because it is easy to be hard on yourself, especially when you consider all of the things you've done wrong in life. All of the things, because I can tell you right now, and I have to tell my kids this a lot, that it's very hard to focus on the positive when there are so many negative things going on right now. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of wearing them darn masks. And I think everybody is. There's health negatives, there's political negatives, there's family negatives. I have kids that'll stand up and give speeches that, you know, they don't even know their parents. Most of them, probably half of every student in class these days comes from a broken family. And the number might even be bigger than that. It's sad to see that. It's sad to see that our nation has turned away from God. You know what? I saw a good saying the other day. It really stuck with me. It said, marriage is hard, divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Staying healthy is hard, being out of shape is hard. Choose your hard. Life is hard, death is hard. Choose your hard. Which one do you want? Which one means the most to you? Which one are you willing to give everything you got, even though it might be hard? Because I'm telling you, it ain't always fun to get up and go to work out, is it? It is not always fun. You don't always feel like it. You don't always care about doing it. A lot of times you'll talk yourself out of it within 5 minutes. Life is not meant to be a coast. It's not meant to be easy. God said there's going to be things. There's going to be trials and tribulation. There's going to be things that you deal with. He said, but when those things come, when you are tested, when you are tried, trust in me. He said, when you go through trials, when you go through temptation, when you go through tribulation, when you are tested, look up. Remember who you are. Life is hard. Exercise is hard. Divorce is hard. Life in general as a whole is hard. But you got to choose which one that you'd rather do. You have to make decisions every single day of your life. You're going to be making decisions. You have got to learn how to be smart and how to think. You know what that old saying, think and then think again. Learn to think about what you're thinking about. And consider your ways. Consider your direction, which way you're going. Consider, is this the right way? Is this the path of righteousness? Or is this the way of destruction? Every single thing you do, the people you hang around, the places that you go, the things that you eat, the place you invest your money, the places that you don't invest your money. There are choices every single day of your life. Having a relationship with yourself begins and ends with you knowing and telling yourself who you are in Christ. And that's what I'm going to talk about right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to be all over the place today. I'm going to read some of the scriptures to you. We're going to turn to about three of them, but the rest of them, I'm just going to read them to you. So if you're taking notes, you're just going to have to write quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, if you want to turn there. And then 1 John. 1 Peter and 1 John, close together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Boy, this is good right here. I'm going to read the Amplified. It said, for we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. You are His workmanship because God is a construction worker. My friends, you are no, when He said that your body is like the temple of the Holy Ghost, you have to look at your body as a house, a functioning house. What do you do when you build a house? You got working parts in a house. You got light switches, ceiling fans, a stove, a dishwasher. You got fixtures. You have a shower. You have a roof. You got walls. You've got electricity flowing through there. You got water flowing through there. Why? Because it is a working masterpiece. God designs you the same way you design a house. When you design a house, you don't say, all right, let's just make it, 30 feet this way and 50 feet that way. And, don't use a tape measure. If you get it pretty close, we'll be okay. Right? If you know Ed Fultz, the concrete pour guy, you'd know that that's not going to fly. Because accuracy is very, very important. God designed you with perfection and accuracy. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb of your mother. In the womb, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made to be used for good works which God prepared for you. You were designed to function. God did not create man so that it could just exist on a planet and live in a garden and just do nothing. He even gave Adam and Eve something to do while they were here on the earth, even before they fell. They had something to do. It was to what? Tend the garden. Take care of the garden. Help grow the trees. Water the, prune them, whatever. Do whatever's necessary to take care of it. He didn't just put us here and say, just dwell. No, He put them to work, didn't He? You were designed to function in motion. And while in motion, you are creating, designing, and helping save the lost, healing the brokenhearted. You are in motion because you are a workmanship. You were created and designed to follow God. Now, does that mean everybody does? No. You know why? Because God is a gentleman. And thank God, He did not design us to worship Him because we're robots. He gave us God loved you so much that He gave you a free will to choose to love Him, to choose to receive His Son as a supernatural sacrifice. He allowed you and gave you the choice, gave you the option to serve Him. I mean, to God it means more, doesn't it? I mean, if I was God and I was creating something, it would mean more to me if a person chose to serve me instead of just making them to serve me. It would mean more. It means more to God when you choose. There's nothing that pleases God more than seeing His children serve Him and worship Him. Nothing pleases Him more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Man, that's good. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. This is who you are. Your relationship with yourself will start to grow when you realize who you are in Christ. When you figure out who it is that you really are. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself, but deep down inside of you, you are so much more. There is something on the inside of you that is so much more than what you see in the mirror. You are a chosen generation. Do you know we are living in a certain dispensation? Dispensations are, you could preach all day on dispensations, but God gave certain knowledge in certain times in history to the people when He was ready to give them that revelation. We are living in a dispensation of you get to choose Christ or you can choose to go to hell. It's that simple. You can either choose Christ Or if you don't choose Christ, then you've made your choice. There is, if you choose not to follow God, you have made your choice. I hear, you know, you hear atheists or somebody say, well, I don't want to choose. Well, you've made your choice. You've chosen. You're either going up or you're going down, and the elevator going up is going to be a lot cooler than the one going down. Amen? Because the one going down's got a built-in heater. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises, that should show forth the praises of Him. Showing people who you are and who you are in Christ and what God has done for you. Showing forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, who hath taken you off the elevator going down. Because of who he is and what He did for you and what you have chosen, what you have decided. You have gotten off the elevator going down. My friends, you were going down before you were ever going up. When you were brought into the earth, you were headed down. Until you were of age to make a decision to understand what's right and wrong and to make a decision. At my age, it was 12. I was 12 when I made that decision. I made a decision that I will no longer do this, but I will do this. I will get baptized. I will follow God. Now, I walked away from God for a long time, but I still know I knew who Christ was. And I never gave up who God was. I never walked away from God that far. I was never too far away to come back, but I went away. Royalty proclaims the excellencies of Him who called you. When you are called into a royal priesthood, you proclaim and tell people about the God that sent you, about the royalty that sent you. You know, in the old days, you know, they knew you by, you know, certain things. If you were wearing certain royalty, and back then they had certain rings, and if you had on a ring, that was a signet, I think is the term you would use, that would explain who you represented. So if you had on a certain ring, that meant you served this person or you were a part of that royalty. And in the old days, if you read the book of Revelation, you see where Jesus breaks the seal. See, in the old days, they had a wax seal, and then the king would put his stamp with his ring on that hot wax seal. And when you took it to wherever you were taking this message, they knew it was from certain somebody by what was on the seal. That is who you are. You represent a royal priesthood, and you wear the robes of royalty and the royal rings and the royal crowns. You walk in righteousness because of what Jesus did for you. And that's who you are. And you'll never have a good relationship with yourself until you figure that out. In John 1:12, it says, those who receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. He gave you the right. My friends, having the right to do something is everything. If you don't have the right to do it, you can't do it. That's why we have laws in this nation. We have a country designed around, you have a right to free speech, you have a right to assemble, you have a right to do this, you have a right to do that. Why? You're able to do those things because you have a right, because you are a citizen of this country. You have a right to do those things. He says, those who receive Him, He gave the right to become children of the Most High God. You have a right to free speech in this country. You have all the rights that this country allows you to have through the laws that are established in this country. But spiritually, you have a right to be a child of God that no devil in hell can take away from you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He was made to be sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. He was made to be sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Righteousness, the word love, you could preach for hours on that and go so in depth to that and explain it into detail, because it is so much deeper than just saying, I am a child of God because I received Jesus. It is way deeper than that. The righteousness that you have, the right standing. You have a right to be called the child of God because you are righteous. You are in right standing with the God of this universe. Isn't it great knowing that we're a royal generation on this earth in a certain dispensation after Christ died? I often think about what it would have been like if we could have been there when Christ was there and we would have been a part of the 5,000. I sometimes envision myself just standing there being with him and watching him on the cross, and maybe a Roman soldier is poking at me with a spear saying, "Get away, you're too close." I don't know. I might have helped him carry the cross up the hill. I don't know. But knowing who we are now, I guarantee you all of us would be there now, knowing who we are in Christ and who he is and what he did. Back then they weren't sure. All they saw was a guy who said he was the king and that he was the Son of God, and now he's on the cross bleeding to death. But after the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, all lives changed. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost arrived in the upper room, that changed their lives forever. They no longer were afraid. Peter was set, you know, he knew when he was going to be crucified, they was going to kill him. He said, "You know what, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Savior was. Turn me upside down." You know, and in just a few years earlier, he was giving up and saying, "Oh, you know," they were saying, "You know, you're one of those Jesus followers." And he made the rooster crow, didn't he? Because he denied him three times. Why? Because he didn't have the confidence. All he saw was this man that he had followed and feed the 5,000, raised Lazarus from the dead, and now he's on a cross bleeding to death. But on the day of Pentecost, his life changed forever. He found out who he really was in Christ, and his relationship with himself changed forever. Changed forever. Number two. Another statement that one of my kids said in a speech. Stop bullying yourself. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. You know what condemnation is and what it can do to a person? Do you know what self-condemnation can do to you? We've all done it. You've all experienced it. Everybody's had the anxiety and the worry, and to the point where you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't think straight. You go to work and you're not focused on work. All you can think about is what's going wrong. Stop bullying yourself. Stop, and I wrote this down too, stop kicking yourself in the butt. Stop beating yourself up. Condemnation is the enemy standing behind you and putting thoughts into your head because you messed up or because somebody you know has messed up, and now you're worried about it and you're anxious and the anxiety is just way... Let me tell you one word that exists in schools these days is the word anxiety. And I am so tired of hearing it, but I'm telling you right now that it is a way overused statement. All it is fear. We did some stuff on the board the other day and they wrote a bunch of things up here. You know, what can cause... Or what the question was, what are some things in your social life that can, you know, or how can, I'm trying to remember, there was two questions up there, and one of them had something to do with fear about your social life. And they all wrote anxiety, afraid to talk to people, shyness, and there was like 10 of them. I said, let me tell you something. Every single one of those words y'all have up there are wrapped around one word, fear. It's fear. And I'm telling you, they were like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense." You've got to stop beating yourself up. What do bullies do? They take away your confidence. They come, when a bully sees that they can pick on somebody and get away with it, guess what the bully always does? He keeps coming back. And until you stand up for yourself, you're always going to be dealing with a bully. So if you can't stand up for yourself against yourself, you're going to be bullying yourself the rest of your life. And self-condemnation is not the way you want to live. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been and who you did it with. Stop beating yourself up over it. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now, right now. Romans 8:1, if you're writing them down. Bullying yourself is walking after the flesh. You need to learn how to love yourself. And there ain't nothing wrong with loving yourself. I mean, God told us to take care of this temple. You have to love your body enough to want to take care of it. You have to love your spiritual life enough to want to take care of it. Well, how do you do that? You go to the spiritual weight room. And you spend time with God. And you start building yourself up through the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. Or just praying out loud to God. Or doing whatever it takes to get your spirit man built up. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now, if that was written before the New Testament, it would say, there is therefore right now condemnation on you because Christ has not come yet. So the condemnation probably existed before. But now, we have Christ Jesus, the one who walked out of the tomb, overcame death, took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. There is therefore now no. There is therefore now no condemnation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. I'm going to read you the Amplified because it's got a lot of things I want to talk about in it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, by this we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth and will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before Him. Whenever our heart convicts us in guilt, for God is greater than our heart and He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from Him because we are in His hands. Beloved, if our heart does not convict us of guilt, we have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. And we receive Him from Him whatever, and we receive from Him whatever we ask because we carefully and consistently keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, habitually seeking to follow His plan for us. Now, in one Amplified version, it talks about practicing those things. We have to have confidence and practice those things. When your heart does not condemn you, you have confidence. But when you're kicking yourself in the butt, there is no confidence. Because you are focused on everything that you've done wrong, and you're beating yourself up over and over, and then it leads to worry, and then the worry turns to anxiety, and then the anxiety turns to you not getting to eat that wonderful, lovely food that we get to enjoy on this earth. Amen? Amen. And you lose sleep over it. You can't do your job. You compromise your integrity of showing up on time and doing your job. You could get fired. All because you want to beat your own self up and kick your own butt. Amen? There is therefore now no condemnation. And if we will practice getting into the spiritual weight room with God and praying to Him in the Holy Ghost, or just spending time listening to Him, or pray or through praise and worship, if you can just practice spending some time with Him, your confidence will be built up. That is what the Holy Ghost does. I talked to somebody about this the other day. They were talking about praying in tongues. They went to a church one time where they were doing that, and they got a little bit nervous, and they were confused by it. I can see where the confusion would be. Because some churches do it out of order. In this church, we don't. But the purpose of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues is to edify yourself. Paul said it. He said that. He said it is to edify yourself. What does the Word do when you read it? You ever been having a bad day and then you just pick up the Bible and you start reading about who you are? I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because the Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. The Word's alive. When you say these things out of your mouth that is in the Word, and you say, I can do all things, and you just keep repeating that scripture over and over, and then your body starts reacting to what you're saying. You're either saying this or you're saying trash. It's that simple. If you're saying the wrong things, your body starts reacting. It's a scientifically proven fact. The word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you imagine being sharper than a sword? I know y'all, all you old cowboys, y'all got all them pocket knives, and when you go get a brand new pocket knife, you want to show it to everybody, say, man, you got to look at this, man. You got to see, man, feel how sharp this is. And you go, and you see, boy, that would split a hair. Like the Looney Tunes cartoon, remember when he'd sharpen that axe, and he'd get that axe, and he was using that wheel, and he was sharpening that axe, and he'd pull the hair out, and he'd drop it on the axe, and it would go just like that and split. Anybody watch Looney Tunes? Yes! I say that to my kids nowadays. They're like, Looney Tunes? Oh, you mean Bugs Bunny, all that stuff, yeah. They don't know Looney Tunes. They know Bugs Bunny, and they know, you know, Tweety Bird, all them, you know. If this word is alive and sharper than your pocket knife, then there is something to be said for saying that word out loud. If it's sharper than any two-edged sword, then it's probably up to us to probably give it a try. I mean, we're always willing to, you know, I think it's, people, I told a guy one time, he goes, hey, you got a pocket knife I can borrow? I said, yeah, but I don't like to cut things with it. Oh, we just got a revelation. This is pretty good. Listen to this. Yeah, I know the word, but I don't really like to use it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Thank you, God, for giving me that. That's pretty good stuff right there. Yeah, I know the word, but I don't really want to use it. I don't really know how to, you know, I'm kind of religious. I went to a certain church, you know, when I was growing up. Only the preacher was allowed to talk out of the Bible. He'd tell us not to get Bibles because we don't need them. Just listen to him, right? Not. That ain't the way it works. I'm no different than you. I'm as human as you are. I got 10 toes and 10 fingers. And I got blood in my veins just like you do. I ain't no better than you are. I'm just called to do this right here. This is what I'm called to do. Your job is to read that word just as much as it is mine. It is your responsibility to get in the prayer room and build up your spiritual faith. To get in the prayer workout room. The spiritual workout room. And build up your faith. Yeah, I know a lot of the word, but don't like to use it. You're going to need it, I'm telling you right now. In these times, you're going to need it. And let me tell you something. If Trump wins again, you thought for the first 4 years was bad. Wait till the next four get here. There is no telling what's going to come out. There's no telling what they're going to try to do. I'm not saying he's the best. I mean, well, actually, I am saying he's the best. I'm just saying. And I'm not saying the best for just right now. I think he's the best ever. Ever. Now you can say this is, you know, this church is a little bit too political. If we can't talk about it, who will? You're going to rely on the public? All them hell raisers to tell you who to vote for? In my opinion, I'm voting for the guy that's in there. I think he's the best that's ever been in this nation. Now, that doesn't discredit our founding fathers at all. Let me tell you something. It took a lot of confidence to leave a nation where they were forced to worship a certain way and forced to serve a king. It took a lot of confidence to get in a boat and get in the water and go find some dirt that nobody had ever dwelt or nobody had ever established or conquered or whatever you want to call it. But the one that's in there right now is getting rid. I'm telling you, he is scattering devils like rats. Demons and corruption is getting kicked out of there. It's being exposed. That's the guy I like. Yeah, I like that guy. That's what you're supposed to do. This is what he's doing in Washington is what you should be doing in Liberty Hill, Texas. Whether you're in political high places or not, doesn't matter. Where you are in your home and where you are in the public places, he's doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Running out devils, exposing corruption, and chasing out devils with the Word of God. Psalm 103 verse 10 says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God. Because if that was true, we'd all be dead. I saw a speech by, or a quote by Martin Luther King the other day. It said, if we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we'd be a blind and toothless nation. Every one of us be blind and toothless. Thank God He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He very well could have, couldn't He? He could have. He didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to. But He did. And Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He could have not gone. He said, I could call legions of angels, Peter. Put your knife away. Quit cutting people's ears off. I could call legions of angels right now if I wanted to. Can you imagine the authority that Jesus had? Can you imagine the kind of power that was in His voice, and the demons would tremble when He would go to places? Can you just imagine what that was like? Being around that guy on the earth. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And thank God, you don't have to beat yourself up anymore. The devil does a good enough job of that. You don't have to do it. He'll do it for you. As I close, number three is relationship with God grows myself. A relationship with God grows myself. Now, this one came from me, and a kid didn't say this. I have actually had some kids, though, in speeches talk about God. And boy, do I elaborate when I get the opportunity. Somebody brings up Jesus in the classroom. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I'll go 15, 20 minutes on it. Number three is a relationship with God grows myself. In other words, be a man. Be a man. Now, does this just mean for the men only? No. You need to be a man. Okay? Women too. Grow up. This is part of your responsibility too. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish ways. Now, do you think Paul is just talking about the men? No. Women can stir up churches too. You ever heard of the spirit of Jezebel? You think a woman won't come in and try to control things? Men do it too. But I'm here to tell you, those spirits can get on anybody that is willing to say, yes, use me. What do you want me to do? Yes, I will act like a hellraiser. Yeah, absolutely, I'll do that for you. And a lot of times they don't know it, which is okay. It's a lack of knowledge. They don't understand that they're doing it. They think that they've been this way their whole life, and that's just the way they're supposed to be everywhere, including church. But when you become a man, you put away childish ways. You don't think like a child. You don't understand as a child. And this is one of the things that I'm telling you, when I first started coming to church here, when I moved to this area and started coming to this church, I started getting so much revelation from Corey when he started talking about tithes and offerings, and he started talking about knowing who you are in Christ and all those things. I started getting so much revelation, and I started getting set free in so many areas that I had been in prison. I had been put into a prison for years with wrong thinking. Thought as a child, acted as a child, responded and behaved like a child sometimes, because I didn't know who I was in Christ. But when I started finding out who I was, I started becoming a man. Becoming a man is for both men and women. Becoming a man is nothing more than maturing spiritually. We have got to start living in the church like Christians, and then leaving the church, going into the public places, living like hell. We've got to have confidence that when somebody asks us about praying in tongues, or somebody asks us about laying hands on people and seeing people fall out, or seeing people get saved, or somebody getting set free from cancer, or getting healed from certain diseases, you better be willing to tell your testimony, because it might be the only chance that person has to get saved. That might be the last chance. This week, you probably heard about a guy that used to be a principal here in Liberty Hill. He had a car crash in Bryan, Texas. They're having a prayer meeting for him tonight. He almost died in a car accident. He's still alive. He's having brain swelling. His last name is Bye, B-Y-E. He used to be a principal here. He got, you know, his family. I still have one of his kids. He still goes to Liberty Hill. His wife's still here, and his kids are still here. His son is the kicker for our football team at the varsity. But he almost died. I mean, he just went through a red light. Somebody T-boned him on the pastor's side, and they're just they're praying for his life. You never know when the person you're talking to. That might be their last chance to ever hear about Jesus. And if you don't start beating yourself up and start growing up in Christ and start having a relationship with yourself, you're not gonna have the confidence to tell them. Because bullying suppresses confidence. It suppresses it. It puts its hands on the top of you and it starts to push you into the ground and starts to mash you down. And starts taking away all of your confidence, all your boldness. It starts taking all that away. Until you start saying the word out of your mouth and using the word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, you're going to keep falling down. You're going to keep beating yourself up, and the devil's going to keep pressing on you. And for some people, it leads to things that are tragic: suicides, worry, anxiety, suicide. The final frontier for anxiety. You got to give up childish ways. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son, mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness. To be totally grown up. To be totally grown up and to have the perfect love that casts out all fear. That's the fullness of God. That's the fullness of Christ. When you are full to the full stature, when you are grown up to the point where you know about Christ. You operate in the Holy Ghost. You're praying daily. You are mature. The devil tries to slam you with condemnation. You tell him to get out of here. You start walking like a real man. You start strutting a little bit. You know what I mean? Start walking with a little bit of strut in your step. Walking with your shoulders square. I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell people square up their shoulders. Quit walking like you're all bent. Quit walking like you're defeated. If you walk defeated, that means you're defeated in here. Because what's happening in here is what happens out here. And your shoulders, you know when you get a massage, where is the first place that always feels the best? The shoulders. You know why? Because that's where you carry a lot of your burden. That's why the donkey was called the beast of burden. Where's all the weight on it? It's on his shoulders. Where's the cross? It's on his shoulders. When you get to the full stature, that full stature that says, I know who I am in Christ. No devil in hell can separate me from Christ or anything that He has given me. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am healthy. I am a winner and not a loser. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. When you can get to the full stature and the fullness of Christ, you've done something. You've done something. Now it makes it a lot harder for devils to whip your tail. It gets a lot harder. Because if you're a baby Christian and you stay on the milk of the Word and you're always thinking like a child, acting like a child, behaving like a child, responding like a child, anytime somebody says something you get offended, or anytime somebody says something they upset you and you retreat into defense mode. It's a lot easier for devils to win if you are not in the full stature of Christ and in the fullness of Christ. The fullness, that full knowing, that perfected love cast out all fear. Perfected love cast out all fear. Not love, perfected love cast out all fear. If you can't have a relationship with yourself and get along with yourself, you're not going to get along with God. You know why? Because God's going to correct you. God's going to tell you when you're wrong. I've had times in my life where God has absolutely corrected me, and I was like, yes, sir. Exactly. You are absolutely right. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? Do this, do this, do this. Yes, sir. And then you take that step and you start going. If you can't get along with yourself, it's going to be hard to get along with God, because He is going to tell you when you're wrong. He's going to tell you when you mess up. He's going to tell you when you did this wrong, when you spent your money in the wrong spot, or you did something, you know, that compromised your integrity or that compromised your morality. He's going to tell you when you're wrong. And you better be willing to take it. Because upstairs, way up in the heavens where He is, He loves you, but He don't need you. He loves you, and He wants you to be the best that you can be. And when He tells you something to do and you don't do it, do you think He's up there losing sleep over it? Do you think He's up there talking to the angels? Hey, angels, pray for me. Thank God. I told Bob to do something. He won't do it. God don't need prayer, does He? God does not need. He's not in a position where He can be corrected. There ain't nobody on this planet, no nothing in this universe that can correct or teach or knowledge up God. Nobody. And that's why He's God. And that's the God we serve. If He wasn't that, I wouldn't serve Him, because I want a perfect, awesome, majestic, royal God to serve. And if He ain't all of those things, then I ain't serving Him, because He ain't no God. He's a fallen something like I am. But He's not. You're going to have to learn to get along with yourself. If you've been beating yourself up, stop it. If you've been bullying yourself, stop it. Right now, stop it today. You're going to say, well, that's really hard. You don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you've been through. God is up there and He can help you. I don't know what you've been through. I can't fix it. I can tell you what you should do, but I can't fix it for you. But God can. God knows what you've been through. He knows what you're dealing with or what you dealt with. Years ago, months ago, weeks ago, yesterday. He knows. And whatever you're dealing with, He can fix it. But you better be willing to take correction. Because if you can't, you're going to be in the same miserable state that you are now. You're going to be worried, full of anxiety, and you're going to be sitting around beating yourself up, and you're going to be mad at whoever did you wrong or this or that. Who cares if they did you wrong? Who cares? It's your responsibility to forget it and get over it. Now, does that mean you forget what happened? No, but you're going to have to forget that it's... You're going to have to just let it go. You're going to have to kick it out of your mind and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And say, I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to meditate on it. I don't want to focus on it anymore. I don't want it. Here you go, God. You take it. I don't want it. Whatever it is, you're going to have to quit beating yourself up and have a relationship with yourself and say, I love myself. I love myself enough to want to go into the prayer room and get to know God. I love myself enough to want to take care of my body, health-wise, physically. Eat the right things, exercise, whatever it is. Whatever it is you want to do. Now, it's not for everybody, I understand that. But whatever it is God's telling you to do, you better be willing to do it. Your spiritual life, your emotional life, your mind, will, and your emotions, and your walk with God. Your walk with God is very important, but you better start loving yourself, because it'll make that walk with God a lot easier. Amen? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we love You and we lift You up today. We honor You. We thank You for the praise and worship today. We thank You for Danny Ray coming and ministering to us through the music. Such wonderful music. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the first and the last. And Your name, Jesus, is a wonderful, beautiful, authoritative, bold, confident name. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this church and these people that are in it. And I pray that wherever they go, Lord, I pray that wherever they go, that they will have confidence and boldness. And that they will know who they are in Christ. And that they will have the confidence to minister to people who don't know who Christ is. They will have the confidence to tell their testimony to those people. We will not be afraid of being Jesus supporters, Trump supporters, or whoever supporters. We will follow your word and we will walk in righteousness because we are children of the Most High God. We will walk with confidence and we will support a godly person. Whoever is in that office, Lord, we will pray for them. But we support godly men and women to run this nation. If there's people beating themselves up, I pray over you that you are protected by the blood of Jesus and that your mind is focused. Your heart is receptive to receive the Word of God and to understand His precepts, His laws, and His statutes. That your mind is willing to receive the Word of God, and that your mind begins to focus and think on the things of God and everything that is written in this Word. I declare that we take authority over our minds, and that we will focus and stop beating ourselves up. We will have a relationship with ourselves and get to know ourselves and love ourselves. Today is a new day. We will start our lives over today. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that we are new creatures in Christ. If you're not saved today, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to receive Him. If you're not saved, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. All we're going to do is ask you to pray a prayer with us. And by praying this prayer, we believe that if you pray this prayer and you say it out of your mouth, we believe at this church that you will be saved and go into heaven when you leave this earth. You have to receive Jesus in order to get to heaven. You must confess Him with your mouth that He is Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want everybody to repeat after me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and arose again on the third day. I believe you, Jesus, are the Savior of the world. And I receive you today in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you prayed that prayer for the very first time and received Jesus, all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand and let me know that was you. There's nobody looking around, but if that was you, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, well, look at me. Very good. All right, well, you're all saved. That's great. Hallelujah. So glad you guys came today. I'm so honored that you were here. Thank you, visitors, for coming, and the sleeping baby never woke up. That man, I don't know what he's got, but we would all love to have that, wouldn't we? Fall out. You remember, I hear kids all the time, they come to school like, man, I slept for like 12 hours the other day. I'm like, man, I wish I could still do that. I wish I could. So there's some days I would like to do that. Wake up, eat lunch. Oh, I feel so good. It's getting better. You got to protect your bodies, right? Your sleep patterns have a lot to do with your health, right? So you got to take care of your body. Got a few quick announcements and we'll get out of here. So number one, John Cornyn will be next week Sunday, Mike? Next Sunday. At 1 p.m. at Dahlia's. A lot of you are thinking, well, Dahlia's isn't open on Sunday. Well, for this, they're opening. Okay, they're going to have a, what would you call it? Like a rally? Fine coffee? Pie and coffee. So it's kind of like a rally. except they're serving pie and coffee. And it's for the special guests. And at Dahlia's, they have good pie and coffee. Amen. And peach cobbler with Bluebell ice cream, too. It's really yummy. Woo! Hey, and I don't know if there's anything better than peach cobbler, except maybe sweet tea. But yes, they will be open next Sunday right after church if you'd like to head there. It's a special thing they're doing there for this next week's Sunday. Probably a lot of people there. You might have to park on the road. So, also, we have drinks in the foyer. Please take when you leave today. They expired recently or expired. They expire soon. So is this stuff that we had from the rodeo? Cases of stuff. You can take. Just take. You can have it. It's yours. It's either that or it's going in trash. And let me tell you something. Just because it's expired doesn't mean it's expired. I eat expired stuff all the time. I don't care. If they say that yogurt is bad, I do the smell test. I do the test. Remember the guy from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Remember the guy that had the axe? Well, I forgot his name. He'd hit the axe. He'd go. Just thought it was a good analogy. I mean, y'all haven't watched Rudolph in a long time, I can tell. I watch it every Christmas. So if you'd like it, take it. Give it the smell and taste test. If it passes, it's all yours. Women's Conference, November 14th, right here at the church. $30 to come. It's a deadline to register and pay is November the 1st. We'd like to know how many people are coming. So try to get registered for that as soon as possible. November the 1st is not next Monday, but the next. And so we have three special guests. So Jamie, Ann Smith, and then the lady from Colorado, Lynette Gleghorn. Yes. So we also have it on Facebook. So if you'd like to see the flyer on it, it's on there. But get registered as fast as you can. Also, the men's conference is November the 21st, right here, $25. Deadline is November 7th to register and pay. So we have Corey, and we have two others, Rusty Feltz and. Skip Brim. It's Billy Brim, who you see on television. It's Chip Brim. Chip. There you go. Chip Brim. It's our son. And that he'll be here. So if you'd like to register for those, get registered as soon as possible. It's $25. And I think they even serve food. So you'll get fed and have a good time. And also, we would like to tell you, they just opened up the new addition that we did over here. There's a door going in there. Do not go past the door, okay, because there's a lot of construction hazards. You'd have to have, like, a helmet on, all that stuff. We don't want to, you know, it's a safety hazard. There's, you know, stuff leaning on walls and things that could fall and hurt people. So we're trying to keep people out of there. So please do not go past that little fence that's past the door, right? You can go to the door and get your kid, right, but you don't go in and go past the fence, okay? The little wooden, looks like a little wooden wood privacy type fence. Okay? So do not go past there. We'd appreciate it. We'll let you know when it's safe to do so. Also, Danny Ray's got his CDs at the back. Please go see him and say hello to Judy. I met her for the very first time today. Good to meet you. Thank you guys for coming. I'm so thankful for you guys. Danny Ray is a huge blessing to us. He has been for years. So, also, I'll do this one just because it's specific. Yes. You got a question?
No, I have an announcement.
Yeah, sure, right quick.
My name is Ruben Cuevas, and my wife, we're new members. Her name is Michelle. We're heading up with Paul and Heidi as a Christmas work this year. So we got some volunteers. We got some results. Okay. But now we need to start getting candy to throw out to the kids. So if you can start bringing candy, the sooner the better. That way we have enough for the community when we pass them out that day.
For Christmas. That's for the Christmas parade, right?
So we need like 100 bags of candy. I think something like no lollipops, you know, something like that, what have you. But we're trying to get this all started. The earlier the better.
Yes.
So the more you all help out, the easier for us.
Yes.
Contribution for a good cause. But whatever is lacking, we will have to pick up.
Yep.
So we really appreciate the help. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or want to volunteer, if y'all know how to get a hold of Heidi, get a hold of Heidi. If you want to get a hold of my wife, myself, come up to us. Like, if it's something we're taking on, as new members, we really want to help.
Exactly.
Want to do something to the community here at the church.
Good. Absolutely. Thank you. So that's for the parade, the candy for the parade. Try not to buy stuff that, you know, can turn into torpedoes when we throw them. You know, like, you know, hit people in the face with, you know. And no chocolate, too, right? We don't do chocolate like during Easter because it's warm. It's going to be cooler then, but still it can melt. Because we live in Texas, right? And it's 80 degrees during Christmas sometimes. So buy stuff that doesn't melt and stuff that's easy to pass out to kids. And know what? No suckers of any kind. Anything with sticks attached to them, yeah. So stuff that's, you know, throwing friendly, right? Exactly. Jolly Rancher. Yeah, Jolly Ranchers. Okay, so usually what we do here at the end, we usually have somebody come up for me. It's kind of different this time. We've only had to do this once, but Danny raised special music for us, and we usually just take up an offering for me. But we're going to split the offering, okay, today, because we special music. He earned it, right? He's no different than me, right? So whatever goes into this bucket right here, if you'd like to give to us, I don't get paid to work here at the church. I live by offerings just like he does, okay? So if you'd like to bless us, you can do it in this bucket. If you haven't turned in your tithes and offerings, put it in that bucket, please. And if you're writing a check, make it to WCCC, okay? Don't make it out to him or to me. Make it to WCCC, and then we'll take care of it from there, okay? And by the way, if you want a tax receipt, please fill out an envelope. I've had people put cash in an envelope. It does no good if you don't fill it out. It's just throw the cash in the bucket, okay? But if you'd like a tax receipt at the end of the year with your name, address, and all that on there, please fill out the envelope and throw it in the bucket, okay? That all makes sense? Everybody good? All right, you guys stand to your feet. I hope I didn't miss anything. Heidi, we good? Okay. And don't forget to go buy a CD. You'll love Danny Ray's music. I mean, you heard him today. You know how good it is. So he's such a blessing to us. But his CD table's right back there at the back right. All right. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for blessing us. We're so thankful, so honored that you are in our presence. We love you. We thank you that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, living in these times right now, in these awesome times. We don't focus on the negative because there's so much to look forward to with you, Lord. It's so many positive things that we have to look forward to that we give you glory and honor for, Lord, because you're worthy. You're worth it, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us and be with us for the next month and be with our president and all the politicians that are godly politicians that are running for high office, Father, that are going to lead this country and our Supreme Court too, Father. Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause.